If you have your copies of God's Word, if you would turn, please, to Luke chapter 6. Our text today, Luke 6, 46 through 49. Reading from that text, give your attention now to the Word of the Lord. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Well, let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, what a blessing and treasure it is to us. And Lord, we pray now that you would bless us. Bless these people who have gathered here today. Lord, that they might not hear words of the preacher. May they indeed hear and see and experience a demonstration of the Spirit's power as you take this word, this sharp sword, and penetrate to the very core of our being with your truth. Lord, we long to hear a word from you today. Lord, may we hear your voice, and your voice only, we pray. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Every good sermon should conclude with some personal application. There should be a challenge to think or to do something. And our text today is a fine example of this. And we must say that following Jesus' example here is and should be regarded as a perfect model for which all preachers should aspire to emulate. They could do no better than to follow the example of our Lord here today. What we have in our text today is designed by our Lord to cause those who hear, his original hearers, who heard this sermon, it's designed to cause them to think, to search their hearts, and to act, to do something. Far, far too many people fail to put their religion into practice. There are far too many today within the church who take the name of Christ but show no Christ-likeness in their lives. Such people are self-deceived. As James wrote, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Now, I think all of you probably have heard and even know and can say from memory that verse. But the complete verse says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The one who sets about deceiving others as to their religious inclinations, the one who masquerades as a Christian, is the one who is ultimately the one who is most deceived. For they have convinced themselves that all is well, that there is nothing to fear, that they will indeed be safe in the day of judgment. And this is an assumption which carries with it the most unthinkable penalty. Penalty for a wrong assessment here is too terrible to contemplate. And yet nothing is more common among professing Christians. Jesus said in Matthew, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. And in fact, it is to this self-deception, it is to this great sin that Jesus focuses the attention of those who have heard this discourse, those who have heard this sermon. Jesus focuses their attention like a laser beam. He draws their focus, and I would say it should draw our focus, by means of a heart-searching question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I want you to think on that for a moment. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not obey me? Why do you not do the things I command? Why do you not do what I say? What this question reveals within the heart is the most common and probably the most dangerous sin of which one can be guilty. It is a sin of profession without practice. No matter how one may claim to honor Jesus, no matter how much they may say, I love Jesus, no matter that they bear his name, Christian, Jesus stresses that they're being dishonest. The simple reason is that all the while they are confessing him as Lord, all the while they are bearing his name, they fail to render obedience to him. Their actions prove that other things or other persons are indeed the Lord, little L, Lord of their life. And this sin has always plagued the church. It is probably the most common and most insidious sin within the visible church. And it is constantly sweeping away millions of church members onto what Matthew called the broad way. It's so broad. It has to be so broad because it's so crowded with millions going to destruction. Most everyone misinterprets that. They think that there's this giant road, this great expressway, and over it is a great flashing neon sign that says, this way to hell. That's not what it says. It says, this way to heaven. And the false prophets and the false teachers and the false professors of Christianity are out there pointing people, saying, this way to heaven. Many, Jesus said, go that way. The very word Lord, to call Jesus Lord, is to say that he should be obeyed. Excuse me. But nothing is more common than profession without practice. And it is this self-deceiving sin and is this form of Christianity without its practice that sweeps millions into hell. And let me say right up front, please do not misunderstand what I am saying. This is not about works unto salvation. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But the talk of the lips. The praise of Jesus. The profession of faith which is not accompanied by the sanctification of life is a false profession. Jesus has already addressed this. The one in whom the Holy Spirit dwells must bring forth good fruit. A good tree cannot help but bring forth good fruit. The true follower of Christ must show his love for Christ in his deeds. Jesus said, if you love me, we read this earlier this morning, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I see this danger all around us today. Since the rise of revivalism in the mid-19th century, countless thousands, if not millions, have made a profession of faith in Christ at some revival meeting, at some church camp. They've raised their hand in Bible school or at some college retreat, or as we used to say, they've walked the sawdust trail in some evangelistic meeting. Beloved, I know the truth of that. You see, I raised my hand in Bible school. I said I believe in Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I was baptized. And I was not a Christian for decades after that. And my life proved it. But I knew lots of Bible verses. My father was a preacher. I knew the plan of salvation. My wife will tell you that I'm the one who led her to the Lord. I was lost. I knew the words. I knew where to show her in the Scripture the way of salvation. I could say, Lord, Lord. But I was not a regenerate, born-again person. And my life was the proof of that. So many people have made such a profession. They have said that they put their faith in Christ. They prayed a prayer. They signed a card. They were counted as a success of some particular meeting. But nothing, nothing changed in their life. After the emotion of the moment wore off, after a few days, they were just as they were before, rebellious, disobedient, and uncommitted to the commands, the demands of Christ. Many in our day, and it's a problem in the church today, many openly avow that they can continue in their sin, that they can continue in the most heinous sins, making no move to repent, making no move to put those heinous sins behind them, to turn from those. But they believe they will be okay. And it's okay to continue in that lifestyle or to continue in that particular sin because they believe in Jesus. They are calling out, Lord, Lord, but they are not obeying the Lord. This is a spirit of antinomianism, lawlessness, that many within the church today regard as acceptable, as long as you say you believe in Jesus. Many of these people are active in church, at least on a somewhat consistent basis, but they are nominal Christians, Christians in name only. Many go through life recalling that profession of Jesus as Lord. They can tell you about the camp where they believed in Jesus. They can tell you about the Bible school. They can tell you about the college retreat. But they don't have the least obedience to His commands. They have not the least obedience to the Scripture. But they believe they will stand in the flood of judgment. Thus, Jesus says, this heart-searching question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Jesus immediately contrasts the non-doer, the one with profession without practice, with the one who puts into practice, Jesus says, the words, the commands of Christ. Jesus compares such a person to one who built their house on a rock, who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Now, we should say something at this point. Our tendency is to equate the rock with Christ, particularly when we hear songs like we sang this morning, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." In addition, throughout Scripture, God and Christ are called the believer's rock. And that is true. But it is not, however, Jesus' point in this particular application. Both builders here acknowledge Christ as Lord. But the difference which Jesus highlights is the difference between profession without practice on the one hand and a practice which mirrors one's profession, as in the case of the wise builder. You know, in Bunyan's famous Pilgrim's Progress, the character Talkative thinks that hearing and saying will make a good Christian, and thus deceives his own soul. Hearing is only the sowing of the seed. Talking does not prove anything. Talking does not prove that there is fruit in the heart and in the life. People today talk about all kinds of things. There are all kinds of people in the world who will tell you and profess to be experts on certain things. You can go on the internet and look up anything and read about anything and talk about most things as if you're an expert, as if you've actually done some of those things. Talk's cheap. Talk doesn't prove anything, actually, about your heart and your life. Jesus has already said in this discourse, as we noted just a moment ago, that the good man bears good fruit. It is the practice that proves the profession. It is only when we add the discipline of obedience to Christ, which He illustrates here with this deep digging, foundation laying, it is only when we add that to the raw materials of truth that we can build a house that will stand the flood of crisis, temptation, trials, and bereavement that's sure to come our way. And these tests are coming. But even worse, trials are coming. Death and judgment come. And often with dramatic suddenness. But as powerful as these floods, these torrents may be, and as quickly as they may come, the house of the wise builder is never swept away. But, Jesus says, but the one who says, Lord, Lord, and does not do what Christ commands is like one who built his house without a foundation. Such a house may appear to be okay as long as the sun is shining. Those who are not versed in home construction might see nothing wrong with the structure. The house built on the rock and the house with no foundation outwardly might look the same. So it is with those who profess Christ without obeying Christ. Their religion may look okay for a time. To the uncritical eye, there may be no discernible difference between them and the true Christian. Both may belong to the same church. They may engage in the same activities. They may both support the church and missions and the poor. The outward appearance of both houses may be the same. But the time of trial and temptation, death and judgment is coming. And it takes very little imagination to see what would happen to the house with a poor foundation, a house with no foundation, which looked so good in the sunshine. But Jesus doesn't leave us to imagine. He doesn't leave us to wonder what will happen to this structure. He says, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Christianity, which consists of merely hearing the word taught, listening to sermons, of saying, I believe in Jesus, and saying, I love Jesus, without doing anything, is like a building without a foundation. It is headed for a great collapse, for complete destruction. And it will be a total loss. And no loss is so total, so complete, as the loss of your soul. What cost little is worth little. You may save a lot of money by building a house without a foundation. It will cost you much more in the end. The easy believism that is so prevalent today, a Christianity which requires no sacrifice, no obedience, a Christianity that says, just believe in Jesus and do what you please. A Christianity that costs nothing will be worth nothing in the torrent of tribulation and judgment. In his application here at the close of this discourse, Jesus draws a sharp contrast that he's drawn throughout this sermon. It's a contrast between two ways of life, two kinds of trees, two kinds of fruit, and here are two kinds of builders. There are only two kinds of builders, the wise and the foolish. They're not degrees, they're not three or four shades of wiseness or foolishness. The wise builder builds his house, that is his life, on Christ. Not just in profession, but in practice. When he says Christ is Lord, he considers the fullness of what that entails. He earnestly, faithfully, tries to order his life, his actions, and his thoughts in conformity with the commands of Jesus in the Scripture. The foolish builder goes his own way. Such fools may profess Christ, but they know better than Christ when it comes to their own life. They know better than Christ when it comes to their desires. They know better than Christ when it comes to that to which they devote their time. But the torrent, the flash flood is coming. The time of crisis is unavoidable. Even if one were to avoid every time of testing and trial and temptation in this world, death comes to all. And it is given unto man once to die and then to face judgment. And there will be no torrent like the torrent of God's judgment, and it is coming. The wise builder never trades future happiness. The wise builder never trades eternal happiness for present leisure, for the ease of construction today, or for present enjoyment, because the torrent of judgment is coming, and it can come swiftly and unexpectedly. My grandfather lived in what is now the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. He lived on the west prong of the Little Pigeon River. He was working one day down on the west prong of the Little Pigeon River. And you've seen this river if you've been to Gatlinburg. It's that nice little creek that flows through town. My grandfather said he was working there one day. It was a bright, sunny day, and not a cloud in the sky. And all of a sudden he heard a loud and a strange noise, and he couldn't figure out what the source of it was. And he looked around and looked around. And then he looked up the creek. And there, barreling toward him, was a wall of water and mud and large trees and boulders rushing down the creek bed. You see, there had been a cloudburst up on the mountain beyond his sight and hearing, dumped many inches of rain in about 30 minutes. And he had to scramble as fast as he could up the side of the mountain to keep from being swept away by that torrent. The people that Jesus addressed in this sermon were familiar with that, because dry creek beds in that part of the world often turn into raging rivers in moments. Jesus' hearers knew what he was talking about. This flood can come suddenly. It may be a sunny day where you live. You may love to hear good preaching. You may love coming to church. You may approve of the doctrines of the church. Say you believe in the Bible. Say you believe in Jesus and that you love Jesus. What kind of foundation are you building on? That is, what are you doing? Are you doing what Jesus says? Are you building on the rock? Or are you doing what you say? Doing what you please? Are you building with no foundation at all? Setting yourself up for a tragic and eternal fall. I would urge strongly each of you today to examine your life and to examine it in the light of this question that Jesus poses at the end of this sermon. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Does your practice match your profession? Or are you deceiving yourself? Charles Simeon, the great preacher, said, "Let us trust in the Lord as simply as if obedience were not required, and let us obey the Lord as zealously as if obedience only were required." You hear what he's saying? Put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Trust in the Lord as if that is all that is required. But in addition to that, obey Him as zealously as if your eternal destiny depended on nothing else but your obedience. Look at your life. Is there profession? That is, do you trust in Christ and Him alone for salvation? Is He your Lord and Master? The answer to that is not in what you say. Jesus said in Matthew, "Many, many will say to me in that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord." And I find those to be some of the most frightening words in all Scripture. Many will say to me, "Lord, Lord." And Jesus said, "I will say to them, I never knew you." You see, the answer is in what you do. For if Jesus is truly Lord of your life, you will obey Him. And that is the only foundation which will stand the raging torrent of judgment, because it reveals the true condition of your heart. It reveals the truth of your confession. Well, let's pray. Oh Lord, we lift up to you a prayer for each of us to take this question that you have posed and to examine it in the privacy and the depth of our own heart, where no one else sees, where we alone know the awful truth, that which we hide from so many and think we hide from you. Lord, help us to deal honestly with this question that you, in your divine wisdom, have set before us this day. Do we call you Lord, Lord, and do not do what you say? If that is true, why do we call you Lord, Lord, and do not do what you say? Lord, if there is any self-deception in anyone here, anyone who hears these words, Lord, may they turn from that. May they repent. May they cry out to you. Lord, change their hearts. Give them a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart of obedience, a heart that loves you not just in word, but in deed. A heart that shows the truth of profession in its practice, in all things, for your glory and your honor. Lord, may it ever be so. We ask these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.